This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
I'm looking this morning at the Gospel of John chapter 15. And I'm looking at verse number 14. This morning, my thought is on the friendship of Jesus Christ. John chapter number 15 and verse number 14. Our Lord said, "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends." John the Beloved that writes this book is the last living disciple. The last living disciple, he writes what we would refer to as four books and one revelation. He writes the Gospel of John, then 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then he writes the Revelation of John. But here in the Gospel according to John, his entire theme, as we're looking at in Sunday school, is to present Jesus as the Son of the living God. And as the Son of God, believing in Him, you might have life through His name. And as John gets down into chapter number 15, it's all getting ready to come to pass. Jesus has already had the upper room discourse. He's already had the Last Supper. And they're walking out of the upper room and they're going over through the temple complex and they're going down through the Kidron Valley. And as they're going down through the Kidron Valley, Jesus gives John chapter number 15. And this is what He says. He says, "Now fellas, I know that this whole time you all have served me. And I know this whole time you have called me master. And I know this whole time you've looked at me as your rabbi. But fellas, I am not just your master. I am not just your rabbi, but I am your friend. And you are my friend." Now you and I look at that in the English, and we look at that in our Western mind, our English American mindset. And that's not nearly as big here as it would have been there. Whenever a Jewish boy hit the age of 12, they had a job and a responsibility. What their job and responsibility was to choose out the rabbi that they wanted to serve, the one that they wanted to learn from. And at 12 years old, they would follow that rabbi. We would call them cliques or denominations. That's how all of that would work out. But here we find that there are 12 men, 11 of them saved, 11 of them believed. Now, they are fishermen. They're tax collectors. They haven't chosen a rabbi. You know what that means? They didn't believe in God. They didn't believe in the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. They didn't believe in this whole religion thing. And that's why whenever they are out serving and out fishing and out tax collecting, that's why they're not with a certain rabbi. There were a few of them that served John the Baptist. They had chosen him out. But remember what Jesus said in verse number 16. He makes an interesting statement. He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." You know what He was saying? He said, "You didn't come looking for me, but I came looking for you." Now, when you put that in the square of what we just said, here are boys that didn't serve any God. Here are boys that didn't care about religion. But Jesus Christ, the darling Son of God Almighty, He said, "You didn't go looking for me, but I left my throne and I came looking for you." And here's what He said. He said, "Now boys, I've done a work in you, but I want you to know, I look at you as my friends." Why in the world would Jesus make such a statement that He looks at these men as friends? Well, you've got to realize what He just told them. He said, "Now boys, I'm leaving. I'm not going to be here much longer. I'm not going to stay around these parts much longer. I'm going to my Father, but I just want you to know what you're about to endure and what you're about to go through and what you're about to fight and what you're about to face and what you're about to fear, you're not going to be by yourself." Why? Because I am your friend. Now, brothers and sisters, we are living in a day where we are connected to everybody. We tweet them, we Facebook them, we Instagram them, we Snapchat them, we call them, we text text them, we email them, we have so many connections, but so many people feel alone. They feel like they have nobody. I bet I deal with that on a weekly basis with somebody that calls me and says, Pastor, I feel all by myself. I feel like nobody is around me. And I look at them and I say, man, you're married. You got somebody in your house. You got kids in your house. You got coworkers. You've got friends. You got people everywhere. But yet you feel alone. You know why? Because we have connected with our devices and we have connected with our heads. We have connected with our hands, but we have not connected with our hearts. And that's why people feel by themselves. And this is what I want to do. If you've never been born again, I want to introduce you to a friend that will never leave you and he'll never forsake you. And if you are a child of God, I want to remind you that you are not by yourself and you are not alone. Even though you do feel alone and even though you look like you are alone, there is a God that has not abandoned you and he has not forsaken you. I'm preaching this a whole lot better than they're receiving this, and I'm feeling it a whole lot more than they are. Here's what I'm telling you. There is a God that is with you and he has not forsaken. Let me give you three things on the friendship of Jesus Christ. Number one, the entrance into this friendship. How did I become a friend of God? How did you become a friend with God? And let me remind you, you're not just friends with your buddy. You're not just friends with the man upstairs. You are a friend of the Most High God. You are a friend of the one that created it all. You are a friend of the one that is in charge of everything, and everything has to go by his throne. How did you become a friend with him? Well, in order to understand how you became a friend of him, you got to understand that you were an enemy of him. The Bible says that you and I were at enmity with God. You know what that means? It means you were at war with God and I was at war with God. You were not on God's side and I was not on God's side. You know what you were? You were a sinner. You were out in your sin. You were living like the devil. You were living like your friend Lucifer. You were living, acting, breathing, and being exactly what he was. And that's how we acted. Why? Because we were a friend of the world. We were a friend of the devil. We were a friend of our flesh. And if you're a friend of the world, the flesh, and the devil, you're an enemy of God. But that enmity, it entered at Adam and it exploded in the Old Testament. But that enmity, it had an exit ramp one day, because on the backside of bloody Calvary, there was a God that hung on a tree. And when God hung on a tree and he hung between a heaven and hell, you know what he said? He said, Father, I have come to sign a peace treaty. And anybody that gets on my side, my God in heaven, I'm feeling it right now. Anybody that gets on my side, they will be at peace with you. And here's what happened that day. Let me rehearse it, because the devil may have forgotten it. That day at the back of the Vandalia Baptist Church, a 16-year-old boy, I was at war with God. I was a sinner lost in my sin. I was a sinner lost in my way. I was a sinner lost in my ability to be a sinner. But that day, the peace treaty came my way, and the loving Lord Jesus said, if you'll side with me against yourself, you will be at peace with God. And that day, I didn't realize what I got when I said I want Jesus. I didn't realize what I got when I said I want Christ. But I'm thankful today that I realize today that I'm now at peace with God. I'm not at war with God. My enemy's not God. My enemy's the devil. My enemy's the world. My enemy's the flesh. But my friend is God Almighty. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. I got more in that deal than he got in that deal. I got the better end of that arrangement. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, you got the better end of that arrangement. You know what you got that day? You got peace with God. You got hope in God. You got life in God. You got love in God. You got grace in God. You got mercy in God. You got heaven in God. You got eternity in God. You got more that day than he got that day. And I'm no longer at war with a thrice holy God. Man, when we got married, your mama didn't like me. You remember when we went and told her? Well, you didn't go, I went. Sugar Pie, I went, and this is what I said. She was in the store. And I said, Miss Smith, I'm really wanting to marry your daughter. Is that okay? She looked at me. I've never told you this. She looked at me with fire in her eyes, like I had just started a war. Man, I'm talking fire in her eyes. And what you didn't know is my mama was just as mad at you. We were up Chocolate Creek without a popsicle stick is what we were. We got married, and it was tense. Not with me and you. But something happened. We had a baby. So you know what I had? Yeah, baby changes everything. That's exactly right. That ain't just a Christmas song. That's the truth. There was something about that baby being born that brought peace to the whole situation. I can't explain it. But it's like when my DNA and her DNA got together, that baby brought peace. Now, I know that that's not a fully together illustration, but I'm going to tell you what happened. You and I were at war with God. It was our relationship with the devil that tore up everything. But that day when the blood of God and the blood of man came together in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that baby was born of that virgin named Mary, all of a sudden a baby changed absolutely everything. And when that baby was born and that man died on that cross and resurrected that third day, that baby's life changed everything. I'm telling you, it's not my religion that changed it. It's not your religion that made you a friend of God. It's not your baptism that made you a friend of God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that made you a friend of God. Can I tell you what I'm not looking forward to, Dwayne? It's when my kids start bringing friends over. I know you all don't think this. I'm a hermit. I get up, go to my study, stay in my study. Now, if I didn't have to come out of my study, I wouldn't come out. My little boy and girl love having play dates with other people's youngins. The problem is, I don't really like foreign germs in my house. You know, if one of those little crumb snatchers ever just knocked on my door one day and tried to come in, I absolutely think if Erica didn't get to him first, I'd drop kick him in the front yard. Pow! You know, the only entrance they have into my house is through my son. If they come in with my boy, I will let them stay. You know why? Not because I have a relationship with them, but I have a relationship with him. And because I got a relationship with him, I tolerate them. That is exactly what Jesus does for you and me. When I go before the throne of God, it's not that I'm something wonderful or that you're something wonderful. It's because when we go in looking like Jesus, we go in clothed like Jesus, we go in talking like Jesus, we've been robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so when I walk in to the throne room of God, he says, there comes my son, there comes my boy. He doesn't know it's me, he doesn't see it's me, he doesn't call comprehend it's me. You know why? Because he looks at the scars in the hands of his son and he says, because you got a relationship with my son, I can't get off his point. Because you got a relationship with my boy, I'll let you in. It's not my goodness, it's not your goodness, it's the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes us a friend of God. Hey, when the devil tells you you're not worth it, you know what you need to remind him of? That he knows the truth. But you remind the devil to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And when he says you're useless, you say, yes, I am. But keep on talking, big boy. You tell him this: I know I'm useless. I know I'm worthless. But I know one that is useful, and I know one that is worthy. I know I don't deserve it, but I know he does deserve it. I know I'm not able, but I know he is able. I know I can't do it, but I know he can do it. It's all because of Jesus Christ that we've got a relationship with God Almighty. You ready for number two? Number two, this relationship, this friendship has an exclusivity about it. Man, that's a big word. Let me put that in redneck English. You know what that means? Jesus won't let you be friends with him if you're friends with the world too. I'm telling you right now, there is an exclude. Look at back what it says in verse number 14. Watch what Jesus said. Ye are what? My friends. Men and women, you cannot be friends with the world and be a friend of God. James chapter 4 and verse number 4. Write that verse down. Here's what James, the half-brother of our Lord, said. He said, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Can I tell you why most people don't enjoy their relationship with Jesus Christ? It's because you're married to Jesus, but you're shacking up with the world. And you can't enjoy your relationship with God when you're busy shacking up with the world, the flesh, and the devil. You can't enjoy the blessings of God Almighty when you're out there running around doing your thing out in the world. You can't enjoy Jesus Christ when you're out there straddling the fence and trying to say, I love Jesus on one side and I love the world on the other side. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. No man can serve two masters. Here's what you've got to understand. The moment you choose the world by default, you reject Jesus Christ. I don't understand how that works. I don't understand how it is that when I live and walk and breathe in my sin, that there is a grieving in the heart of God. I don't understand how that works. How many of you remember those childhood friendships? And man, out on the playground, those childhood friendships, oh man, they were BFFs before BFF was a thing. And man, this youngin, they had a friend and buddies, do stupid stuff, cut their hand and squeeze their blood together and be blood. Oh, that's gag. But isn't it amazing that today you and Bubba Sue or whatever the name was were friends? But tomorrow when Bubba Sue starts talking to Jimmy Lou, how it grieves your heart. Y'all don't remember that? Okay, well I do. I remember that. There's just something about it. Their allegiance was split. Now I know that that's probably just an elementary thing, but there's an aspect of truth in that, in the way that Jesus works with you and I. You say, why? I'll tell you why. This one time, and I don't remember what their names were, and they probably are watching, so I'm just going to make up names, all right? Man, I had this buddy one time, and we were buddies. There was this other punk out on the playground, and I was always a husky little thing. It always bothered me on the back of jeans. You know, they used to have your size and then it'd have an H on the back for husky. It just bothered me to no end. My mother loved me so much. She said, that means handsome, honey. That means handsome. This other punk out on the playground, it was his life's mission to make my life miserable. It was his life's mission. I don't understand why. It was his job to make sure that I hated life. He did everything in his power. But life was good as long as me and my buddy were together. And you know, one day, I went out on the playground. And you know, it grieved me back then when I was a little boy when my buddy was playing with my enemy. It wasn't the fact that they were playing together. It was the fact that this boy knew what that boy had done to me. You know, that's exactly what grieves the heart of God when you pal up with the world, when you live like the devil, when you go out here and live like some junkyard dog. You don't understand what that sin did to the Lord Jesus Christ. You do realize it was that sin that you are so in love with and that you so hold and cherish. It's that wrong relationship or whatever it is that the Holy Ghost is dealing with you about right now. It's that very thing that put the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And you look at Jesus and say, I'm your friend, Jesus. And then you go over here. You pile up, and Jesus said, don't you know what that did to me? Don't you know what that did to my heart? Don't you know how bad that hurts me? And I'm going to tell you what some people in the house of God need to do. You need to do what Joshua said in Joshua chapter number 24, and verse number 15, where he looks at the children of Israel and he says, you know what you need to do? You need to choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether you're going to serve the God of the Amorites and the God of the Hittites and the God of the Perizzites and the God of the Jebusites, that's fine, do your business. But you need to choose today who you're going to serve. If it's going to be the Lord God, you need to get off the fence. And there are some people that are in this building right now, and you've been piled up over there, and you're trying to pile up over here. You cannot serve two masters. It's about high time that you say, you know what? I'm done messing around. I'm done playing around. I'm done doing that. I choose Christ because Christ chose me. I choose Jesus because Jesus chose me. There's a third one I want you to get. There is an enjoyment to the friendship with Jesus Christ. There are three benefits that God tells us in His Word that you'll get when you walk in friendship with Christ. You say, it sounds awful hard. Listen, you know my buddy, Tim, these people, they don't understand what playground politics were like. I'll tell you, playground politics were a big deal in my day. These kids today, they don't even know what bullying was. No, they don't. Bullying was a tetherball coming at your cranium. That was bullying. That was real bullying. You know, one time I finally got so fed up with my friend. I said, you're going to choose today who you're going to hang out with. And he looked at me and he said, well, what's the requirements? I said, oh, it's simple. You either going with him or you're coming with me. And you know what that boy said? He said, well, tell me what you offer. He said, because he has got them Lunchable meals. And he doesn't eat the pepperonis. And I get the pepperonis. I said, you get pepperonis with him? I said, I'll match him pepperonis. But I'm hefty. And my mama packs Twinkies. And I don't know what they're doing to this generation of youngins, but in the old days, you know how many came in the pack? Dose. I said, I'll tell you what, if you come with me, I'll give you my pepperonis and my Twinkies. I said, because there is a blessing siding with me. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, it is a sacrifice when you reject the world. It's a sacrifice when you say we're not living in our marriage like that. We're not living with our kids like that. We're not operating like that. We're not going like that. And Jesus said, everything you lose over there, I'll give you that and more. You say, what do I get? There's three things you get. Write them down. Number one, the very first thing you get is faithfulness. Can I give you a verse in the book of Proverbs chapter number 18 and verse number 24? The Bible says this. It says that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. Can I give you Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5? Paul said in the book of Hebrews, he said, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother in Proverbs. He said, I will never leave thee and I will never forsake thee. I know why people live in the world. I completely understand why people live in the world, because they didn't have a father. They didn't have a mother. They didn't have family. They didn't have acceptance. Whatever whatever reason it is. And they go over here and they say, this person accepts me. This person doesn't judge me. This person doesn't do this and do that. Can I remind you that there is a God in heaven that knew what you were like, but yet he still loved you. And he accepts you like you are. And he's trying to change you into the image of his son. And he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never cast you to the side. When you're in your midnight hour, he said, I'll be there. And when you're by yourself in the valley, he said, I'll be there. And when you don't have any friends, he says, I'll be there. And your wife walks out and your husband walks out, he says, I'll be there. And when your kids leave you, he says, I'll be there. He said, there is nowhere you'll go that I won't go. There's nowhere you'll be that I won't be. There's no valley you'll walk through that I won't walk through. There is a faithfulness in the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll never find out in the world. Never. You say, now, preacher, what good is that? Well, there's a second benefit. The second benefit is not just faithfulness, but it's forgiveness. The second benefit of being friends with Christ is he always forgives you. How many of you have those friends? And I mean, you got to walk on eggshells with them. Anybody else have those kind of friends? I mean, you just gotta walk on. You say the wrong thing, and Lord have mercy. And heaven help if you make a passive-aggressive remark on Facebook. Let me help you. Some of y'all, the best thing y'all can do is shut your Facebook, your Twitter, and your Instagram down and just live in a book and don't go on a phone. Man, I'm telling you. And I mean, you got to walk on eggshells with them, every one of them. And if you, God help if you ever cross them. If you ever mess up. Does anybody else have friends that they still hold stuff against you? Am I the only one that made a mistake 125 years ago and it's brought up at the darkest, lowest moment of your life? Can I give you a verse about Jesus? Let me read this verse to you in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 17. A friend loveth at all times. In the good times, he loves you. In the bad times, he loves you. In the low times, he loves you. In the weak times, he loves you. In the mess up times, he loves you. When you don't feel good, he loves you. When you feel wonderful, he loves you. He loveth at all times. Can you apply that to Jesus? When you feel like praying, he loves you. When you don't feel like praying, he loves you. When you mess up, he loves you. When you do good, he loves you. When you fall down, he loves you. When you stand back up, he loves you. When you come to church, he loves you. When you miss a Sunday, he loves you. When you go out over there, he loves you. When you go out over there, he loves you. He's the kind of friend that no matter what you do, he says, I'm not going to cast you aside. I'm not going to hold it against you. You bring it to me. Repent of your sin. We'll put it under the blood. We'll move on. And the devil will not even be able to find it. There's forgiveness in the friend, Jesus Christ. You know, there's a third thing. And I hope this will help some of you. The third benefit of friendship with Jesus Christ is he gives you forewarnings. He gives you forewarnings. Can I give you a verse in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 27 and verse number 9? The Bible says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. How many of you, I mean, you're really trying to walk with God. You're not perfect, but I mean, you're really trying to love and walk with God. And you're asking God for direction. And you see the end in sight, and when you go forward, it's like a roadblock gets put there. So you got to step to the side. And then you got to go. And you constantly feel like you're moving in all types of directions. And you say, God, what are you doing to me? You know what he's doing? He's being your friend. Because a real friend will tell you where pitfalls are. A real friend will tell you where you're going to mess up. This is not a real friend. I don't know what friends are like today. I got like one or two of my buddies, and we've known each other for 20 years, and we just have a different relationship. But I don't know what friendships are like, but I do believe a lot of friends keep their mouth closed until you mess up, and then they say, well, I could have told you that was going to happen. If you were my real friend, why didn't you tell me before it happened? You know, there's some of you right now that are walking in a path and you just can't seem to get that door open. You know what your friend Jesus is trying to tell you? That ain't the door. You're trying to go in a direction and you keep hitting a roadblock, and you know what Jesus is trying to tell you? That ain't the way. You know, He's trying to direct you and take you and pull you in the direction He wants you to go. I have a lot of hymns that I love to listen to. There was an Irishman named Joseph Screven. Joseph Screven was a young man, fell in love with a beautiful lady. He loved this girl and they were engaged to be married. I believe, if I remember correctly, it was about a month before the ceremony. She went swimming. The late 1800s, and she had an accident. She drowned in the water. Screven's heart was shattered. If my memory serves me correctly, he comes over to America. And he falls in love with another young lady several years later, engaged to be married. Something tragic happened. She was riding down the way on her horse, and the horse stepped off of the bank and went tumbling over the cliff. His second fiance was tragically killed. In his grief, in his sorrow, and in his anxiety, he wrote a little poem. And this is what it said.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.
And maybe you're here this morning and you feel so alone. You're married, but you're alone. You got kids, but you're alone. Family deaths and sorrows and trials and tribulations have this way of tearing us to pieces. There is a friend. His name is Jesus Christ, and if you're a child of God, and maybe you've just, through whatever reason, why don't you bring it to the Lord? There's a friend that won't forsake you, won't turn you aside, won't abandon you. And maybe you're not even born again. Maybe you've never been saved by the grace of God. There is a friend that calls your name.